Well, good morning. I am so grateful that we're here together this morning. What an awesome gift that we are given to be able to come and learn and grow in our relationship with Christ. And as a reminder, that's exactly why Sunday mornings exist. As I sit and I teach and I prep and I pray through what it is that we want to learn, I want to remind us of what Sunday mornings are. Sunday mornings are not a time just to have fun. Although I love being able to come in and do things with Jess and games and to see students put toothbrushes in their mouth, which is awesome, and spits going everywhere. But at the same time, the goal of Sunday mornings is to cultivate an environment where we can learn about who God is. That we would know what we believe and why we believe it. That we would be individuals that are completely passionate about God's word and people that care about prayerfulness. And so I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that you guys are here, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you chose not to sleep in or to just wake up and watch Netflix, but that you actually decided to put some clothes on, thank you, maybe take a shower, thank you, and then come here and grab a donut and be a part of this community. So I'm glad and I'm proud of you guys for being here this morning. This morning, we are kicking off a five-week series called The Intelligent Design, a series that you guys asked for at the end of last year, along with some other incredible series that we're going to be going through this year. And so I'm excited to dive in for the next 5 weeks, where we're going to be talking about creation for week one and two. The story that many of us have heard a ton of times, maybe even too many times. Often we hear stories so many times that they become dull or the power kind of weakens because we're so familiar. And so over the first 2 weeks, we're going to talk about creation and God's story. We're going to also talk about how science and logic can or cannot prove the creation story. Then we're going to dive into the creation of humanity. If God created us, how did he create us? What identity do we have? And what role do we play, if any, in the creation story? And then one of the things I'm excited about this year is in each series, we're going to end series in communion and in some sort of interaction. If it's art, if it's poetry, if it's worship. And so I'm excited for week five. We are going to review and respond and celebrate what it is we've learned during the series. And for this series, you guys will get an opportunity to actually do some art yourself, which I'm excited for. And I'll save some of those secrets until the very end. But man, am I excited for this series. And I'm excited for Sunday mornings. If you don't have things to interact, I want you to. So if you don't have a Bible or a pen or highlighter or bulletin, I want this to be a place where we interact. Studies are so clear that people who engage, people who underline, highlight, rewrite, ask questions, learn and retain more. So I want us to be a place where we do that. And student leaders do a great job as you guys come in of being able to grab those resources and those bulletins. So if you don't have one of those, you can raise your hand and a student leader would love to get you those. But try not to sneak in without those things. Hey, let's pray together this morning as we get ready to jump into Genesis chapter 1. But pray with me before we open the Word of God. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this place. Thank you that this is a place where we can engage each week. God, would you open up our minds, our hearts, our souls, God, to who you are, that we would know what we believe, why we believe it, that we would be passionate for your word that is the light to our path, a lamp to our feet. So we pray over this morning. In your name, we say as a group, amen. Well, hey, week number one, we are jumping in to the question, who created the heavens and the earth? There are a handful of really big questions that most of humanity ask. My assumption is the majority in this room has asked or thought or pondered or wondered this question. Maybe you're going on a hike and you see these incredible mountains or this lake or you see the ocean or you sit at night and you stare up into the sky and you see these incredible stars and you think, where did all this come from? I pull out my iPhone in my pocket, and it's clear that there was a creator behind it. I see airplanes flying overhead as we all live way too close to the airport, and I know that somebody built that. And most of us look out in creation and we ask this question. It's a question that humanity has been asking since the beginning. Who created the universe? Was it by accident? Was it by chance? What does the Big Bang have to do with any of it? And so I want this to be a series where right from the beginning, we're going to answer this question. Because the Bible gives an answer. The Bible gives an answer. In Genesis chapter 1, if you don't have your Bible, you need to grab one. Open to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 25 this morning. And the Bible answers this question. Now, we're not getting in yet if it's true or not. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But if it's true or false, at this point, it doesn't matter. The Bible still gives an answer. Now, there's a few groups of you in this room this morning. Some of you have heard this story a million times, and you believe that the answer that the Bible gives to who created the heavens and the earth is true. There's some of us that sit in this room, and we've heard it, but we have a lot of questions. Is it scientifically true? Can we prove it? I don't know. I kind of believe in some of this other stuff, too. So some of us have questions. We've heard it, but we're like, I don't know yet. And then some of us have heard it, and we're like, no, it's not true. I don't believe that the Bible has the right answer. I believe the Bible has an answer, but that the answer's wrong. And there may even be some of us in this room this morning who've never really fully heard the story. No matter where you are coming in this morning, I am really excited, and I'd encourage you to open your mind to what God has for you during this series, no matter what group that you're in. So Genesis chapter 1, I want you to get there. I want you to grab your pen. I want you to grab your highlighters, your tab. You'll see I kind of tabbed it in my Bible. Ideally, we would love for you to have your own Bible and bring it so you can then take it home and get in the Word. I don't want you to just touch a Bible on Sundays and Wednesdays. So if you don't have a Bible, Jessica would love to get you one. We buy everyone these Bibles. We'll engrave your name on it. So if you need one, man alive, we'd love to do that. Our church gives us money for that. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Are you ready? We're going to read the account that God's word gives us that answers the question, who created the universe? We're going to go through verse 25. We're going to save humanity's creation for week 3 and 4. So know that I know that we're not going to tackle that quite yet. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, page number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. Let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the seas and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas. And let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you have ever read or heard that account of creation before. Raise your hand nice and high. Now, keep your hands high if you've heard it before. Just out of curiosity, keep your hand up if you remember the first time you ever heard this story. Does anyone remember exactly the first time? I can't remember my first time. Okay, few of us. For most of us, the reason we probably don't remember is because a handful of us have grown up in a Christian home. Not all of us, but a handful of us are grown up around maybe Christian schools or certain things where we have heard this story a lot. We've heard it a ton. And I want us this morning to try to hear it through different ears. Even if you believe that it's true, even if you've heard it and you have questions, even if you've heard it and you think, no, it's not true, or for the few of us in here that have never heard it, I want to open our minds up to look at creation in a fresh, new way. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to jump through the creation story again. But I want us to sit with each step, with each day, and I want us to really wrap our minds around what in the world happened. So as we journey, here's what's important. What's important is what we've already learned, that the Bible gives an answer to the question of how we got here. Right or wrong, it gives an answer. It's up to you to decide if the biblical account is true or false, but it gives an answer. And the answer that it gives is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'd encourage you to follow along in your bulletins, again, as a way of just engaging and retaining information. But the Bible answers the question. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the who. God created. And he created over 6 days with two kind of separate steps or strategies. But God looked at it and he said, okay, I'm going to now create. God is the who. God is the creator. And he does it in 6 days. Now, there is debate whether the 6 days is 24-hour periods, whether it's different steps, whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. It's told in a way to help us understand that he created it in different steps. He organized it in different ways. I want you to think of it this way. I want you to picture God as an artist. And I don't want you to picture God as an artist. I want you to tell yourself and to know, if you don't already, that God is an artist. God's an artist. He is the best artist. He is the perfect artist. God is an artist. And it may help you as we go through this to think of God as an artist. That in Genesis 1 through about 10, we start to hear the first step of his story. That the first steps of his story, the first steps of his creation, the first steps of his artwork is that he organizes. Right from the beginning, it says he created the heavens and the earth, and then it starts to tell the story. It says that there's two things that currently exist. What are those? Darkness and water. And it says that he's hovering over the darkness and the water. He's an artist that has paints, that has a canvas, that has a paintbrush, that has all these different colors. They're there, and he's hovering over them. And he's looking at his artwork. He's looking at his greens and his blues and his reds, and he's trying to figure out, what do I want to paint? What do I want to create? It's formless. It looks like a big glob or ball of stuff, but we're not quite sure what it's going to look like yet. He's not quite sure. We're not quite sure. What form is it going to take? But God is hovering. His spirit is hovering, is present, is there. God is not an artist that has a canvas in front of him who is absent. God is an artist who is in front of his design, who is interacting with it, who is speaking into it, who is commanding creation to form and to move. So verses 1 through 10, God organizes the heavens and the earth. We see this in the first 3 days, that he's got all of his materials, he's got all of his products that he created. He's got his paintbrush, he's got his colors, and now he starts to organize. Day number one, what does he organize? In day number one, it says that he takes this darkness and he starts to organize the darkness with light, and he forms day and night. That he starts to take the darkness and he starts to separate. I picture his hands like almost like doing this like magician-y movie thingy of like separating the darkness and pulling it out and creating the light and pulling it out over this way. And you slowly start to see this form start to make image. He creates day and he creates night. He separates, he organizes light from dark. Then he jumps into step number two, day number two, part number two. God organized water under from water above, calling the vault sky. This water that existed, this darkness that existed, he's hovering, he's sitting with it, he's looking at it, he's figuring out, what do I want to do with it? So he says, I'm going to put the darkness over here, I'm going to call it night. I'm going to put the light over here, I'm going to call it day. And now I'm going to take the water and I'm going to separate it. I'm going to put some water up here and I'm going to call this a vault. And this vault I'm going to call sky. And then I'm going to put the other water underneath the vault. I'm going to have water above, water below. I'm going to separate water from water. He sees it all and he says, okay, what do I want to, how do I want to paint this? How do I want to create this? Oh, I want to separate it. And so he starts to move it apart. He starts to separate it. And then he comes to his next step. He comes to the next part. He comes to the next day. And he starts to organize the water below. And the water below, he now starts to separate. And again, I picture him almost like looking at this from above or wherever he is. He's hovering. He's in it. He's there. He's creating it. It's his. And he sees the water below. And he starts to like command it or talk to it or move his hand with his energy or however he does it. And he starts to put it in a section. I see rivers starting to form, lakes starting to be created, the ocean starting to push back in its place. And as the water starts to move, as he starts to put it different areas, land starts to arise. And in this third part of his process, he calls it sea and he calls it land. He organizes for the first few days. He sees everything he's given, everything he has made, everything he has created. And he says, okay, I'm going to put this here and here, and I'm going to move this here, and I'm going to create a vault, and I'm going to make oceans. I'm going to put those over here, and then I'm going to bring land up here, and I'm going to put some mountains up here. Ooh, and I want a lake over there, and oh, man, let's do a river from here going through there, and let's do this, and I want this to be 90% water, no 80% water, no 50% water, no. And I don't know what percentage of water is the earth. Some of you probably know that. What's the percentage? 75%. That's where he landed. And he starts to move it all around. And then he gets to the next phase. And when I look at the next phase, I think of the next phase being a phase where he starts to add. He's done organizing. He's done kind of putting here, there, everywhere. And now he starts to add things in. Now he starts to take this darkness and this water, and as he's still hovering, he starts to say, okay, I got to put some stuff in here. I need to add some color. I need to put some life. I need to bring some stuff. And so he starts to add. And he starts to add actually in day three. I call it the second part of day three because that's how it writes in there. I don't know where exactly it was, but this is how we get it. And in the continued day of day three, he adds vegetation. He starts to add plants. He starts to add trees. He starts to add shrubs and flowers and vines. And here's what's cool. Everything he creates and adds recreates. Does that make sense? He is creating things that continue to create. So here's the key. Everything in there, it has a seed. It has a seed. So the seeds produce vegetation that produces fruit, that produces seeds, that then goes back and reproduces. Creation hasn't stopped. About 2 years ago, we moved into a new house. Don't have a lot of money, but I wanted like flowers and vegetation in my yard. And I went to Armstrong's Garden and saw that plants are like already pre-grown or way too expensive. And then I went to Home Depot and I was like, oh my gosh. And then I found out there's such a thing called seeds. And seeds are way more cost effective. And so I bought some seeds and I went into my yard and I kind of plowed the ground and I took these seeds and I spread them all about. About a week later, after watering and my dog trampling on them and my daughter peeing in the flower beds, I walked out and I started to see life. I started to see these vegetation. And then a couple weeks later, it got bigger. And then soon enough, my fence was covered with this creeping fig, was covered with these vines and these leaves. God's creation continues to reproduce and create. I think of my iPhone. Like, what a crazy, cool creation, right? Like, clearly there's a creator behind this. How cool would it be if my iPhone every year started creating another iPhone to the newer edition, and I never had to buy a newer edition because it just recreated itself, or it made other ones, and then in 10 years I have 10 of these. I'd be rich. God's creation continued, and we see that through his vegetation. That he takes the waters, he puts it over here, he has this land, he adds things to it. And he looks at the land and he says, man, on the mountains, I want these kind of trees. And in the valleys, I want this kind of grass. And over here, I want this kind of fruit. And it's all going to continue to recreate itself. How cool is that, right? Creation hasn't stopped. God is still painting. So cool. Let's move to day number four. God is still adding at this point. And now we get to get day number four, and he adds something really cool. He adds the sun, he adds the moon, and he adds the stars. that God looks at all this and he says, okay, got light and dark. I've got this vault. I've got this sky. I've moved water up here with some clouds and some stuff. And I've come down here and I got my oceans. I got my lakes. Okay, where else am I going? Oh, I know. I'm going to put two huge lights in the sky. I'm going to put these huge, big, awesome lights in the sky that govern the day and the night, that rule, that separate, that really distinguish, that set aside days and nights, seasons. And this is kind of what's going to rule. And next week, to give us a sneak peek, we start to look at the science behind it and how perfect this part of creation is. But I won't get there yet, but I'm excited. So come next week. And so he looks and he says, okay, I'm going to do two lights. I'm going to do a greater one and a lesser one. Okay, the greater one is going to be this huge freaking ball of fire. And I see him like speaking it or like throwing it like a baseball or like whoosh. And he just adds in this huge flaming ball of gas and like, right? I don't know what any of those words mean, but whoa. And so he goes, okay, I'm going to put it over here. And that's going to be the greater light. And that's going to govern the day and the night. And then, okay, I'm going to do another big light, but this is going to be the lesser of the two. This one's going to be not quite as dominant, but this one's really going to matter. This is going to look over and govern the night. Okay. And then he kind of does this thing, and he like, right? And then he puts the moon, and the moon now sits there. Now just picture the moon for a second, a full moon, a half moon, a crescent moon, right? People say it's like his thumb over it, right? Whatever. You get like the fingernail part, right? Like everyone's got weird theories when the moon. Okay, whatever. Okay. So he puts the moon up there. And then the moon is up there and he goes, okay, ooh, this could be cool. Okay, this looks good. I like where this painting is going, but man, I got to do something else. I'm God. I'm awesome. I know all things. I'm all powerful. Ooh, let's take some other like balls of gas and fire like the sun, but let's stick them way back there and let's fill up the night sky with stars. And this is where the Milky Way galaxy and constellations and just all the beauty of stars that gets fogged here in the city that we really can only see like four of them, he puts up there. I remember when I was in college, I did this amazing experience called Semester at Sea where I traveled. Literally, I did a circle around the globe in 100 days, and it was awesome. And we would sit in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea. We went all these awesome places. It was rad. And I remember my favorite thing to do at night was to go to the back of the boat, lay down. It's pitch black. There's not a city within like thousands of miles. You're in the middle of the ocean. And on clear nights, when the vault of the sky had the clouds away, I could sit down sometimes with a cute girl next to me, but I tried not to because then I lost my focus all by myself. And I would sit down and I would look up and literally see millions, millions, it felt like, of stars. And you could see the galaxies and you could see the Milky Way. The artist, God, the artist, starts to throw in the stars for beauty, to be another part of separating day and night, to be another part of helping us with our seasons. And I think as an artist, to simply give us beauty and awe. What a cool artist, right? What a bad artist to just be like, I'm just going to paint a picture that makes sense. But I want the artist who sits there and is like, I'm going to make this beautiful. I'm going to do this with excellence. I'm going to make this so that when people sit down on the back of a boat one day, they're going to look up and say, whoa. And so he does that. And then we get to day five. And he's still adding. And now at this point, he's like, okay, oh man, this looks cool. God, there's going to be so many like cuddle sessions under this. And then he says, okay, what else do we got to do? And I picture him like kind of stepping back and he kind of looks and he's like, all right, where are we going to go next? And then he goes, oh, I know what I'm going to add. I'm going to add me some dinosaurs. I'm going to add me some woolly mammoths. I'm going to add me some sea creatures and some birds that are just awesome. And so he creates the bald eagle and he creates the dove. And he creates the whatever, I'm not a bird person, but whatever your favorite bird is, yell it out or think of it in your head. That's what he created. And he goes, man, the sky, it's got clouds and it's got these two big governing lights, the sun and the moon and the stars. And now I'm going to fill it with these awesome rad birds. I'm going to put the hawk up there. I'm going to put bees. Not quite sure. Well, honey, I like honey. And he starts to create in the sky. And then he moves and he goes, okay, we got sea over here. I separated water above, water below, created the land. Okay, the sea. I got the sky covered. Man, there's these living things. They're flying. They're beautiful. They're awesome. It's not nighttime, so you're not sitting down looking at the stars, but you're sitting down and you're bird watching maybe. Or you're seeing when birds migrate for the fall or the winter or the summer or whatever. You just see like hundreds of thousands of birds in this like perfect flying V going across the sky. And you're like, whoa. That's awesome. And then he looks at the sea and he goes, okay, now let's fill the sea with all of its creatures. Let's just get whales and dolphins and flounder and Dory and Nemo and Nemo's dad and Nemo's mom. Sad story. And let's just fill the sea. Let's team it with all sorts of stuff. Think of your favorite sea animal. Think of the freaking whale. That thing's huge. Think of sharks. How many of you guys watch Shark Week? Whoa, he did that on this day. He said sharks. Poof. Right? Day five, he starts to add birds and sea creatures. The water above from the water below. The water above, I'm going to fill it with life, and I'm going to fill it with birds. The water below, I'm going to fill it with fish and all sorts of stuff. And then, guess what he tells them all? He says, go have sex. He then looks at all the creation, and he says, reproduce, keep creating. We've got the vegetation that's creating. And now he looks at the animals, and he says, go do it. And he says, start to create more life. And now the birds continue, and the waters continue to create more sea creatures. Creation continues. God's creation is still creating. He is still painting. He's still standing and watching and designing and creating this stinking beautiful picture that I just want to, like, stare at. How many of you guys are outdoorsy? And you just sit there, and you don't need to do anything but just watch. You're so mad at your mom. You're so frustrated at family. And so what do? You go down to the beach. You take a walk alongside the ocean. You feel calm when you're outside. You feel the breeze against your face, the sound of the ocean roaring under your feet, coming up and kind of getting your feet in the bottom of your jeans, which always frustrates me because then little sand gets on it and it gets my car dirty. Then I go home and Erica gets mad at me. And you just walk in his creation because you can feel him. You can see him. You stand in awe. Like, whoa, that whale was huge. It was day number five. Then we get to part one of day number six, because part two we're saving for week three and four, which is the creation of humanity. So make sure you're coming back to hear that. Day six, he adds land creatures. This is where he adds like the lion and the elephants and giraffes. Oh, I love the giraffe. He adds the platypus and the anteater, weird looking animals, right? He's the coolest artist. He's literally sitting there like, ooh, that's weird looking cool. Let's keep that. It's like swipe left. I want that one. Swipe right now. We're going to put that one back for later. Oh, this one's cool. Dinosaurs, we'll keep for a little bit, and then we'll swipe it right and get rid of it and instinct it. This one, whatever. And he's sitting there, and he's like, this one I want furry. This one I don't. This one I want huge. This one I want little. This one I want living under the dirt. This one I want to carve like holes as you think of like the, what's it called? The gophers, right? Is that what gophers do? And he starts to look. He's like, okay, this guy's going to dig all these underground tunnels. And this guy's going to be like the king of the jungle. And this guy's going to do awesome. And he just sits there. If you watch Animal Planet, which my dog loves watching Animal Planet. So sometimes I just put it on for fun. And then I put his bark collar on him. And it's even more fun or sad, depending on how you look at it. And you look at all the animals. that the artist created. The artist said, man, I want this land to just be teemed with more life. And I want the life to be beautiful. If you've ever been on a safari or a zoo before, there's certain exhibits. Or for those of you who have ever actually been to Africa and been on a safari, there's times where you'll sit and you'll see a pack of antelope or something going by. And what do? You just sit and you go, oh, whoa. And like your guide will be like, shh, just watch. And you're like, that's a zebra. Those are boring but cool. It's a lion. Shh. It's an alligator. And we stand in awe of him. We stand in awe of the sun, moon, and stars. We stand in awe of the day and night. We stand in awe of these trees. I think of the movie Forrest Gump, if you've ever watched it. If you haven't, go watch it. It's a great movie to cuddle with. Don't do that either. But Forrest Gump has this tree in it that Jenny, Forrest Gump's wife, is buried under. And I don't know if any of you even know what I'm talking about. But there's this tree, and this tree is stinking awesome. It's like got this huge root. Looks like it's been there for like hundreds of thousands of years. And it goes up and it goes all over the place. And it literally, like, its branches give shade, it looks like, for a mile. And you just look at it. Or if you've ever driven cross country or been on a road trip and you see these trees where you're like, whoa! That we sit in awe of God's creation. We sit in wonder. We look, and for many of us, it's when we then ask the question, who created this? Who did this? I see this pack of elephants going by. I see a million stars in the sky. I see the clouds going over, and I'm trying to play this art game where we draw pictures out of the clouds. And I see the rain coming down, I drive and I see a tree. I turn on Animal Planet and I see these animals that are so intricate and crazy. And some of them change colors. Some of them evolve and their beaks have long and some are short. And it's like, and we sit in awe and we ask the question, generations and generations have asked the question. Famous people, little people, tall people, black people, white people, skinny people, not skinny people. Ask the question, who created this? And there's lots of different answers out there. What answer's right? It's for you to start figuring out and discovering. But the Bible gives you one answer. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created this freaking universe. God is the master artist. God is the one who came up with the platypus. And at the end of it all, as you look back through the passage of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25, you see that God did good. Six different times. In verses 4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25, six different times in 25 verses, the artist steps back and he looks at it. He takes some different angles of it. And he goes, man, that is good. After certain parts of it, after the stars are in, he goes, yeah, that's good. And then after the sun is there, he goes, yeah, that's good too. And then after the sharks are made, he goes, yeah, that's good. And then the animals and the birds, he goes, yeah, that's good. The Bible tells us who created it. The Bible also tells us that the Creator did good, that God did good. He is the best artist. He is the artist that sat back and made beauty. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. God loves material things. He made them. God loves his creation because he made it. he put time and energy and passion and sweat as he hovered over this formless thing of darkness and water and said, okay, how are we going to do this? And he starts to create it. I feel like a ninja when I do that. And he loves it because he made it. We're actually going to talk about this more on Wednesday night. If you're not a part of what we do on Wednesday nights, I would encourage you to become a part of it. Because here on Sundays, I get to talk and you get to listen. But on Wednesdays, you get to talk. For those of you who have heard this story forever and you believe it, I'm excited for you to share that with people. And for those of you that have heard this story and you have questions, I want you to ask those questions. And for those of you who have heard this story and you don't believe it, I want you to open your mind up to maybe you're wrong and maybe the biblical account is right. But I want you guys to be a part of this place on Wednesdays, because Wednesday, we're going to look at this a little bit more and we're going to start to discuss. I want you guys to start getting ready for some time of worship. And as the lights get dimmed and music starts, I want you to shut your eyes. Get comfy in your chair. And I want you to just start thinking about creation. Think about the most amazing animal you could imagine. Maybe you love the lion. Maybe you're a horse person. Think about the last time you went and stargazed. Maybe it was at Hume Lake. Think about the last time you went down to the beach this summer and the huge swell that came in that you watched. Or maybe you even went out and you were a part of it. Maybe you even interacted with creation. As we worship this morning, would we stand in awe for those of us who believe, and even those of us that don't? Maybe you don't know who the artist is, but you still can stand in awe of the finished product. That you can stand in awe of what's out there, even if you're wondering who was the artist of it all. Heavenly Father, God, as we worship you, would we stand in awe of your creation? God, that you are the master artist. God, thank you for giving us a story. God, thank you for creating beauty. God, thank you for who you are. God, be with us this morning as we worship you. You are a good, good Father. So God, would we stand in awe? Would we stand in wonder? God, would we look at your majesty? God, in ways that we've never looked before.